Hey everybody, welcome to the Snapcast, starting it off by hitting the table. Oh yeah. But so for this week, like we said, we kind of mentioned it last week, but this is just going to be us chit-chatting, hanging out, goofing off, talking about whatever we feel like talking about. This is just so we can take a break, so we can have some time off, but we still wanted to make sure we had content on the site for you guys. So for the first half, we're going to be talking about, not really sure yet, we're just going to fire it off. But I do know for the second half, after the break, this is very important, we'll be coming back to talk about Star Wars.
Now, spoilers. There will be spoilers. We're not holding back.
Infinite spoilers. I'm not holding back. We're spoiling everything. I can't. So yeah. You have a fair warning when you hear that midsection music cut on and we're about to come back. If you haven't seen it for some reason, this is going up like the 28th, the 29th, something like that, the Wednesday after Christmas. So if you haven't seen it at that point, like,
get out from your rock and go see it.
Right. Like, we understand you haven't left your house in years.
I haven't seen Star Wars, the new I'm Vegan, so I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, exactly. It's done. We're sick of it. Go see it or don't, and be fine with spoilers. But anyway, so what's been going on with you guys? Non-magic stuff. What you been up to?
I mean, I relocated, so there's that.
Yeah, how'd the move go, man? You settling in fine out there?
Yeah, I'm doing all right out here. I mean, the magic scene's a little lackluster, but whatever.
I mean, what are you going to do? Like, I mean, yeah. How far are you out from Chicago?
Like 2 hours.
Yeah, so that's not bad. So, I mean, there's probably a pretty good amount of shops and stuff there, I would guess, right?
It's good up there, but
not,
I mean,
in central Illinois, though.
That's weekend stuff, but not, you know.
Yeah, no,
my weekday magic has gone to nothing, so.
Yeah, what about you, Jerry? You said your work schedule's changing up?
Oh, my work schedule's absolutely killing me. I used to have every other weekend off, and now I'm on 4 days and then two off, and it just rotates. And I'm on nights, too, so time is never consistent. Consistent is never time, etc. But we make do.
Yeah, I mean,
we come, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you guys know, like, I've been, this whole weekend has been a mess. But yeah,
you're going to work at like 5 at night? What the shit was that?
No, I was like up until midnight on Friday, and I had to go back in for most of the day Saturday yesterday, and then once we're done here today, I've got to log back on and do some more work. But luckily, I mean, for just so people know, we're recording this the weekend before Christmas. So luckily, like by Monday, it's going to be pretty dead. So it's going to pay off. Like next week's going to be dead. No one's going to be in the office, so that'll be sweet. Finally started watching One Punch Man.
Yes.
That's a great show.
So you guys have you both seen all of them?
I've only seen one episode and I loved it.
Nice. Yeah, I'm too deep right now.
Well,
yeah.
Except for the one that came out today.
I didn't even know one came out today. That's awesome.
Yeah, they came out on Sundays.
Yeah, we started it yesterday, and I mean, I was about to pass out. So after two, I was like, we got to turn this off because I don't want to miss anything. But no, the show is awesome so far. It's been cracking me up. Yeah, sure. I think so. Yeah, anyone who's listening hasn't watched One Punch Man. Man, that thing is sweet.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They finally released, since we're on anime, they released Sword Art Online 2 on Netflix. But the point is, it's on Netflix.
Yeah, it wasn't on
Netflix. Now it is. If you don't want to, like, I don't know, you don't want to go to Pirate Bay and jam up your computer with the possibility of hitting a bad download or something.
Yeah, Crunchyroll had it too.
Crunchyroll did, that's
right. Have you watched it yet?
I'm halfway through it. I finished the first half. I'm going through the second half right now.
So I'll completely admit that we got, Joanne and I got like 6 or 7 episodes into it and just stopped watching it altogether.
It doesn't compare to the first season, but I love the casting characters enough that it was enough for me to stick with it.
Yeah, no, I can see that side of it, but man, yeah, we were just like down on it almost immediately. It just didn't have that same like spark, that same magic. I don't know,
the fact that their lives are not in danger might be a part of it. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, fix yourself, Japan.
it's fun. They're doing what they're doing, and it ends up fine. I'm still looking forward to more, so.
Same here.
I think the biggest problem was that, it happens a lot, where you have a really good story arc, and it has a good ending, and it closes, and they're like, all right, but we still want to make more shows. And that gets you into the deep end a little bit. I mean, it's still a fine show, but it definitely lost something when they closed that initial. Because even when they went to, like, Elfheim or whatever, I wasn't feeling that either.
I don't think nobody was feeling that.
Yeah, a lot of people weren't feeling that. But the gun part is sweet.
Oh, yeah, the gun... Gun Gale Online arc was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, so maybe over the holiday break, I'll force myself to get back into that and start it up again. Trying to think of what else we've been watching, man. I'm just so excited to talk Star Wars.
Yeah, I know, right? We should have done that first.
But see, I didn't want to open with it because then people would have to like skip ahead and then it gets like it gets real iffy. You know what I mean? This way it's nice and clean. They can bail out in the middle.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I mean, I figure this would be a good opportunity for us to kind of pull back the curtain some and talk about like who we are as the casters. I mean, one thing we always try to be really aware of when we're doing the episodes is that like we don't like to deter too much from the magic talk. Like we want to make sure the content's there. But I think because of that, we haven't really talked about like, I mean, we're pretty much mysterious guys other than the fact that we play magic.
How about this? We mentioned what we actually do for a living. Besides, I mean, obviously they know Alex's prior service, I'm active duty, you know, Chris and Rob are both active. I don't think people actually know what we do.
No. Yeah. So what do you do, Jerry? I'm not even 100% sure what you do. you give tickets. I know that.
I'm in the 633rd Security Forces Squadron on a Langley Air Force Base. I'm a police officer. That is what I do for a living. I'm sorry, guys. Hey, it's just military folks I mess with.
Someone's got to do it. Yeah, I mean, so for me, I'm an accountant. I do international accounting work for AOL. I'm messing around with these bingo balls. I need to move these away from me.
Damn, nice things, Rob.
We gotta ship this thing out as a prize. All right, I'm scooting it away. But anyway.
You can't say that because that's a spoiler, because when they're listening to this, you know, it's about the time the prizes are going to get there. So when they open up a bingo roller, like, they ruined it for me.
They're going to know as soon as they touch that box. It's going just rattling around, making all this noise. But yeah, so I mean, that's why, like, on episodes towards the end of the month, I'm probably much more tired and less awake. And unfortunately, I mean, the work kind of plays into where I miss a lot of, like, GPs and stuff if they fall towards the end of the month, because my work schedule is just, like, the international nature of it all is very dependent on when things show up in my email. So a lot of times I'm just kind of stuck with doing it, like, working weekends because stuff just showed up then. So, you know, what are you going to do? Alex, what are you even doing out there?
Man, I'm just living the college life. You know, no big deal.
Yeah, not too bad, man. It is weird having you like on the cast but not seeing you in person, and now it's been long enough to where I'm just like, man, I miss that guy. At first, I was like, good, I'm glad.
I'm an acquired taste.
I'm an acquired taste.
Hey. I'm like Jerry, I grow on people.
Exactly. What?
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, that's funny because, like, anyone who listens to the cast, you guys are both pretty impersonable, like, voice-wise and on the air. But, like, yeah, it took a while to get used to you guys.
Oh, dude, I'm a total goon. I know it. Like, you have to be. You just got to deal with me.
Jerry just beats up kids. Like, it's rough, man.
He threw a brick at me. It doesn't really qualify as not fair. And he didn't look like a kid. He had a better mustache than I did. That's not fair.
All right, so the best part about that is I have no idea what Jerry's talking about right now.
Oh, wow.
I was just in trouble in the Air Force.
Okay. The one time I ever got in trouble was because I deployed and a kid threw a brick at me, and instead of using my non-lethal weapon, which is what we were supposed to use, ironically, I just used my fists.
Mm.
He was a kid, apparently, 12 years old. He was also taller than me and had a mustache. So I'm like, what's in that water out in Afghanistan? And in hindsight, I did hurt the kid, but at the same time, do I feel bad? No, he threw a brick at me and it hit me in my helmet.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty rough. That's crazy. Yeah, no, I was just totally making stuff up.
No, you were right. I thought you knew the story.
I sensed it. I could pick up on it. This kid fights
Jerry's
kids.
So for those of you who follow like all the police stories, what I got in trouble for wasn't overuse of force. It was inappropriate use of force. Where they would have rather me just blasted the kid.
You're part of the problem, Jerry.
Yeah, I know. They would have rather me blasted the kid with a shotgun, which is what I was armed with. A shotgun with pellet rounds in it.
Oh, yeah. That seems way worse.
I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah,
come
what on. Are you going to do? Like, choices, man. Choices.
You know, you just learn to deal with it. You move on. And I've moved on from it.
Man, I am bummed out that we don't have Rob and Chris with us, because this is good. We'll have to do this again at some point next holiday and get Rob and Chris too, so we can talk some about them.
Well, I know what Rob does, but I don't know what I can talk about, what I can't talk about, so I won't talk about it.
Yeah, that's
but,
good. Yeah, that's good, because I used to do what Rob does, so I know what you can say and what you can't say, but if you say it, it's too late.
Yep, and I'm not going to say it.
Yeah.
That was a real round robin thing right there. Yeah. But Chris, he's a trainer over at the Fort Eustis area. I know that's what he does. He trains troops, and what he does.
Well, he trains them to work on airplanes.
Yep, there we go.
Helicopters, whatever.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's why, like, man, Chris is awesome. I'm bummed out we don't have him on here too much, because that guy can fix, like, anything.
I know. If something's broke, I know he can get it done for me, or at least teach me. He can probably talk you through it.
Yeah, over the phone. Skype him in, he'll get you done. But yeah, I mean, we've talked about some of our backgrounds a little bit, but, I mean, yeah, like, the whole group is just, I mean, really, we formed just out of, like, guys that we like to chit chat and hang out with, and that's kind of what led us to do this podcast. Was just like, there's a lot of times where we were hanging out outside of tournaments and like we would just be goofing off and people would just join our conversation, so why not record them?
Because we're approachable, but at the same time, if you approach us and I'm a dick to you, I apologize.
Yeah, I hope Spinny's listening to this.
we're both approachable and entirely unapproachable at the same time. It's kind of a weird We're all horrible to each other too. Like I'm proud that we keep the cast so toned down, but maybe we'll have to do a survey to see what our listeners like, what the age basis is and stuff. Because if we've got a bunch of like foul mouthed older guys, we could spice it up a little bit.
Yo, bro, I think I would spice it up too much though. That's the problem.
Have I been bleeped on an actual cast?
Yes, you have.
Yeah,
you got bleeped twice in a 2-minute period, and I laughed every time because earlier in that cast you did not get bleeped. And there was an expletive word that was said, and I just died. Bobby, you missed it.
There's one swear word from Alex that leaked through. And you said f***ing a minute ago, and I think those are going to stay in. Oh, man. So Bobby just here's what I got to do, man. I'm going to ruin the joke talking about it, but I got to leave yours in, but then bleep myself when I said what you were saying.
He said bleep and bleep.
I'm really proud of myself for not, because like if you talk to me in real life, like it's every like third word.
It's funny because I think we all come from backgrounds like me with accounting and you guys in the military. I'm sure there are scenarios where you guys have to watch your language.
Yeah,
and absolutely. There's other times where you can just let it fly, whatever you want to say. So, I mean, I think we all come from these professional backgrounds where we've gotten good at sort of flipping that switch.
I don't think I can go license, registration, proof of insurance, chicken. Figure it out. Yeah, I ain't going to say it.
Man, they're making another Super Troopers too. Speaking of which, that's going to be awesome.
Hey, you got to beep Jerry, though. Even though he didn't say anything, just beep it. Make it seem like he said something.
Oh, man.
License, registration, proof of insurance, chicken. Beeper.
He's just beeping himself at this point. Oh, geez.
Hey, Jerry, you're a great guy, but it comes out, hey, Jerry, boop, boop, boop.
Hey, man, R2-D2 is the most bleeped person ever. He is the foul-mouthed person in the world. They beep every word he says.
Yeah.
He's going to catch him, though. So.
Oh, man. So, but yeah, that's it. I just need to start bleeping out random stuff on these episodes just so people just, oh, man.
Oh, he said something just I didn't like.
Beep. Just start bleeping Rob, because Rob's probably the nicest guy in the group. Just randomly bleeping.
I think it'd be sweet, like, bleep. Career to mana costs. Yeah, he cost beep.
That's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one. Man, we could even do that as like a. So now we got to be careful, because now I want to talk about ideas I just had for the cast, but I don't want to do that.
Right.
I keep forgetting we're actually recording right now.
Oops.
Probably better for content. But yeah, I mean, you guys watch or read or witness anything else cool lately? I'm trying to think of what else I've had going on. I've been playing Bloodborne finally, which like I had a very embarrassing, I had a very like old man moment in gaming where I've been playing Bloodborne, and you know, it's the makers of Dark Souls, so it's built on this idea of it just being absurdly hard and reminiscent of like old NES style games and stuff, which is awesome. But I've been playing this for a while, not getting very far. Ben, who you guys know, the listeners do not know, but he's a friend of mine who loves the series, loves Dark Souls, loves Bloodborne. He kind of brought me into it. He came over Friday night, and he was like, all right, you know, I'm going to walk you through some of this, kind of learn you up on this. Turns out you can lock on to enemies, which I had no idea about.
Because who does that? Let's go hard mode here.
Yeah, it's like the R stick, you push it in, you can lock in, and it makes dodging and swinging and attack. Like, it makes everything so much better. And, like, I'm full on board now. So now over the holiday break, I'm ready to fully dive into this game with my new skill of locking onto enemies. But, dude, it really was that moment of, like, man, I think I'm old. Like, this is so obvious. I should have known there was a way to lock on. I think I'm out of my prime.
Yeah. Nah, I've been getting that way a lot with the newer video games. So you know what? I just stopped. I busted out the GameCube again in like my old like Game Boy Color, and I was like, fuck it. I'm good at these games. I'm gonna stick with it.
I'm going back to my roots. I'm too old.
I'm just gonna be really good at these games again that nobody cares about, but I don't care.
Level 99 on all my Pokemon. I don't care.
Yeah,
exactly.
The world. Yeah, but I mean that
like,
was
I busted out like Super Mario and stuff like that again. I'm just like, you know what? It's time to get good at these again.
I've got all the old consoles.
Way down here, let me tell you.
Yeah, I keep meaning to bust out. Maybe for the holidays I'll do it. We usually have a bunch of people over for like family stuff. And I've got like the NES and the SNES in the closet. But yeah, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to just go back to the old ways.
Time to break it out. Like
it's rough, man. Like so many times that I'm just like, oh, man. Like, because I play a lot of shooters and things like that, and a lot of RPG and stuff. So like going from like Star Wars Battlefront to like Super Mario is such a jump.
Yeah.
Like, it took me a little bit to get back into it. Like, I was dying real easy again. I'm like, oh, man, am I this bad? Like,
I've been spoiled.
You jumped into the first pit. How did you do that?
Just run right straight into it. Oh, jeez. Forgot how early I have to hit jump. It's not instant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where's my cutscene on this jump?
But yeah.
Like, where's it should slow down time and tell me to press A or B or something, and then it'll do it, you know?
Yeah, I've been playing Black Ops 3 a lot. Joanne and I both prestiged on that last weekend. It's been a little while now. Yeah, so I mean, I've been having a lot of fun with that. They added a new patch recently where they switched up some of like the Cryptarch keys and stuff, and that was really cool. They did a good job with that. I always love seeing, like, I feel like we've gotten so far away from free content just showing up. I mean, that was the coolest thing about like 360 and PS3 was we got into this age where like, oh, it's just going to get patched. It's going to be different. It's going to be fixed. I mean, obviously PC gaming's had that for a while, but now we've moved to DLC and it almost felt like we passed right over that period of like cool free stuff just showing up. But Rocket right. League has done it a little bit. I got to see they released like the ice hockey version. I got to see if that's free or not. Even if it's not, I might pick that up, though. That looks pretty cool.
Ooh,
yeah, I mean, Rocket League was one of those. Like, I think it's this weird thing where there's a divide now where, like, all the big games are, like, DLC, and you'll pay for it. And indie games are, like, have free stuff and maybe buy our game.
Like, yeah. Yeah, it really is. Like, it's either the freest of indies or the cheapest of indies or the most expensive of AAA games. Because, I mean, I know people are impressed that they're still $60, but they're really not anymore with all the add-on content and all the other stuff. I mean, I will admit for Black Ops 3, like, I was pretty burned out on the idea of map packs and stuff for a while there. But I am excited for the next map pack for that game. I mean, they did a really good job with all those maps and all the balancing and everything. I've had a blast with that, so I'll definitely be buying that map pack day one. Like, pretty stoked for that.
Let's see here. I've been playing on the Nintendo 3DS, Bravely Default.
Nice.
Yeah,
how
I picked
that
one back up too. Yep. I played it forever ago, and I was like, you know what? I'll play this game again. So
I think the best thing about the game, weirdly enough, is the character names. How they're all puns.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah. Tiz Orier, because he's the warrior. Or the guy with amnesia, his name is Ringabel. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah.
The girl who's been in a cloistered life, and she's the Vestal, the important one, like the head nun almost. Her name is Agnes Oblige. She's obligated. And the girl with all the ideals, her name is Idea Lee, because she's ideally full of ideas.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in that. It's pretty sweet, though. I like the game a lot.
Great game. Lots of puns. Ringabel's a pervert, which is fantastic.
Well, so is the old man clothes maker.
Oh, yeah, the old man. That's right. What's his name? Sage Yuliana. That's his name. Big pervert brothers.
Dude, that's too funny.
It's a sweet game. It's worth picking up for sure.
Definitely.
It's in the Final Fantasy.
It's made by the same people who make Final Fantasy, so all the spells are the same. You know, you got your Fyra, your Fyraga, your Blizzaga,
etc. I didn't know that.
I like it because it's on the same like class level as like Tactics.
Yeah.
Like, as you go through the game, you beat people, and then you get their class, and there's just so many classes.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
Nice. And everyone's able to maintain two classes, which is fantastic. So with your party of four, you have 8 classes worth of powers you can just cycle through. And certain classes work with other ones. It's fantastic game. You should try it if you haven't.
Yeah, that's what's up. No, I mean, I remember when it came out, I was excited for it, and then I honestly can't even say what happened, like why I didn't pick it up, but something got busy, I guess, and just kind of missed it.
Yeah, I came back here, I was like,
spoiler alert for it, and it's not really a spoiler. Let's just see if players or people out there figure it out. The full title of the game is Bravely Default, The Fairy Flies.
Hmm.
That's my little riddle for you. If you've played the game and beaten it 100%, you'll understand.
Huh, all right. The plot thickens, but all right. So, you know, I was trying to hold off on this, but I think it's time that we take a break here and come back and talk about Star Wars.
Yeah, I'm down.
All right. We'll be right back. All right. So welcome back. This is the last chance you have to bail if you have not seen Star Wars, The Force Awakens yet. In fact, if you haven't seen it, turn this off right now and go see it. And then just hit play right where you are. You can join us for this fun event.
Or just go watch it again.
Yeah, or go see it again. I wouldn't fault you for that. So, all right. So, that's it. The warning's over. Here we go. Guys, what an effing sweet movie
I loved it.
Yeah, no, it was great.
Dude, like they nailed the... I mean, from the trailers, you kind of saw it. But even watching it, it's like the aesthetics were perfect. I mean, it had that nice mix of it still felt like Star Wars. Like, I think that was my biggest issue with 1, 2, and 3. I know there's so many things to have issues with, but, like, the biggest for me is it just didn't feel like Star Wars. There's a lot of aliens we hadn't seen.
It was too much CGI.
Yeah, the ships all look well-rounded and shiny and stuff. Like, nothing looked like Star Wars.
But it still felt Star Wars-y. That's how it felt for me, at least.
The old ones? The first 1, 2, and 3?
The first 1, 2, and 3, that was no, I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about 7 here. It still felt like Star Wars.
Yeah, absolutely.
And another thing, the actors weren't cardboard. Like, yes. I don't know if there's a love relationship here, but I feel like Rey and Finn are, there's something there. And if
they gave enough of a potential to maybe, potential. But if not, yeah, it's
because
fine.
Because in the first movie of the prequels, who the hell had any idea that little Anakin was supposed to get with Queen Amidala? Like, who thought that?
I mean, you kind of knew based off of just Princess Leia and all of that, like, you could kind of piece it together, but there was no chemistry, and the actors' ages were so different that it just seemed
like
absurd.
A five-year-old hitting on a teenager. Like, it was just weird.
Yeah, it was awkward the
he
whole way
through.
He came
off creepy the whole time.
And the kid couldn't act.
Also very true.
Just like Hayden Christensen can't portray a love scene.
But yeah, no, the new ones, like you said, Finn and Rey, there could very easily be something there. There could be nothing there. They did a perfect job of, like, they have chemistry, but if it doesn't go farther, it would make sense, too.
They made a solid balance in the Force. But
I hate you, Jerry.
but, like, yeah, so, I mean, obviously, I think the biggest thing, like, Kylo Ren being Han's son, that was cool as shit. Solo.
And his name's Ben.
Ben? I know, dude. Like, that's the thing that I loved is, like, 4, 5, and 6 had this perfect setup where they would just hint at things. You would just see things happen. They didn't over-explain them. So that scene of Han Solo just yelling Ben was so sweet. Like, his name's Ben. That makes such good sense. And, I mean, just the character in general, Kylo Ren, man, he's freaking awesome.
I think that was the biggest reveal in the movie. Like, they revealed early that Kylo Ren was Han Leia's kid. You know, they said, oh, I saw our son. But the name Ben was, like, the biggest reveal in the movie, and I think that was sweet.
I also think they picked, like, the right actor for it, not just because of his good acting skill, but the way he looks. He almost looks like Hayden Christensen from movies 2 and 3 with the hair, just the way he looked. He just looked like a more Mediterranean version, and I really thought, like, this could be Darth Vader's grandson.
No, he looked just enough like him to where you could easily see it, but enough like his own guy. Like, nah, they did a great job with looks, and I mean, luckily they found a guy who's a great actor. But yeah, like, I mean, I loved the reveal of it being their son was just so, like, I don't want to say anticlimactic because it's not really the right word, but they just dropped it in your lap. You're like, yep,
well,
there it is.
They did it so, like, it wouldn't be compared to Vader and Luke.
Yeah, it was the exact opposite.
Like, if they
opposite.
Just waited to the bridge, and then Han's like, oh, you're my kid, they'd be like, well, God damn it, it's just fucking Luke all over again.
Yeah, but I mean, even beyond that, like I said, I just think it was sweet to break up those two big moments. Like, there's I mean, one, like, there's a lot of questions that they just didn't even touch at all. I mean, Rey, we have no idea. I mean, everyone's leaning towards Luke's daughter. There's tons of theories, but really it could go anywhere. I mean, we don't know.
I don't think it's Luke's daughter.
See, I think that's too obvious.
Yeah. Man,
I wonder. I'm lost.
I'm still going with former student mind wipe. Like, that's what I'm going with.
Yeah, I'm feeling that too, actually.
But that's the origin still has to be somewhere. Like, I agree with that. Like, leaving her on that horrible planet, it's a very Skywalker thing to do. They seem to love to abandon children on shitty desert planets, and they found a different one. Yeah, exactly. They come up with better that way. I mean, to be fair, yeah, I mean, all of them. Every single one. Anakin, but that didn't work out very well. Luke, that worked out better. Yeah, not horrible, but better. And then now, who knows what's going to happen to this poor girl if she really is a Skywalker. But yeah, no, I think it's too on the nose. I could kind of see her being Kylo's sister, but I don't like that.
No, I don't, it's not going to be that.
Yeah, I really hope it's not. They're taking too much off of the now non-canon expanded universe. Like, no.
There's a casting call out right now for a female in 8 to play Han and Leia's daughter.
Oh, okay, wow. Okay. So maybe they are picking off of it. Maybe I'm just playing.
Yeah,
wrong.
Like there's going to be another Solo daughter who may or may not be a Jedi too. But no, it's not Rey. She's, I think she's just like the daughter of a Jedi that was in the Outer Rim or something that Luke just found.
But that's what I'm hoping.
One of the things I really loved about the movie was all the Easter eggs that were kind of throughout it. Like,
there's a lot of throwbacks.
There was a ton. Like, the scene where Finn was digging through that box looking for a tool, and he picks up the drone. I'm like, hey, that's Luke's training drone in the fourth movie. Or the scene where you see the big canteen with the new music, by the way. You see a bunch of flags.
Not as catchy, but...
The Mandalorian flag?
There was a Mandalorian flag, and I'm like, wow, really? Okay. And I didn't catch it at first, but then I kind of played it back in my mind. I'm like, yeah, that's the Mandalorian flag. Yeah,
Boba Fett, man.
Go for it.
But yeah, I mean, so like, yeah, between those, I loved the scene where Han dies. I mean, it almost felt too on the nose, but I think it was a pretty good metaphor where they have, I think it's Poe is the new pilot. Yeah, Poe makes a comment about, like, as long as there's still light, there's hope or something along those lines. And he's talking about the sun dying out. But then there's light in Kylo Ren that's fading during that scene while the sun's, like, dying. So the scene goes from light to dark, like, leading up to him killing Han. It was like, oh, God, so good.
So good.
And I mean, like, we kind of talked about it earlier before we started recording, but, like, I was sitting in my seat like, yes, kill Han. You have to kill Han. And I mean, Han's probably one of my favorite characters, but just for story purposes, like... I mean, what solidifies you as a bad guy more than killing Han Solo? Like, what a move.
And not even on the fact that it's his father, too.
Like. Right, yeah, you add that in, and now, oh, jeez, what a evil.
Yeah, I'm actually excited to see, because it's not Darth anymore. There's no, they're not calling them Darth.
Well, I think the reason why he's not being called Darth is because he isn't fully trained yet. He has not earned the title.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's just they're a different breed of Sith. Like Supreme Leader Snoke isn't going by Darth, and he's like the leader. I think it's so that they don't have to have a rule too. I think there's more Kylo Ren's running around in the universe that we're going to see in the next movie.
That's reasonable. I didn't think of it that way. Yeah, I like that.
I mean, like that was probably my favorite thing about the movie was just that you got some answers given to you, some were peppered in, and then some were just not even touched. Like Luke not showing up until the end of the movie was awesome. And
doesn't even say anything.
Right. Yeah, he's completely silent. But then even the crawler just opening up with Luke is missing or Luke has vanished. It was one of the two. But just the whole ad campaign where Luke is missing literally from all of the trailers. You know, you see him in the cloak with the hand. We found out that's him very briefly early on. But, I mean, everyone was talking about where is Luke. And then the movie opens up and the storyline is literally where is Luke? Like, oh, God, that was so good. Like, it was just a moment of where you read that first line, you're like, I am on board. Like, this is awesome.
So how about them duels and those naysayers on the cross guard?
Yeah, cross guard is real.
Yeah, I'm all about it. I see the logistics behind it. Yeah. Going back.
It was nice when he was, like, putting it in the shoulder.
Yeah, and the fins. Yeah, shoulder.
I'm still waiting for the double bladed cross guarded lightsaber on both sides.
Too much. You can't wield that without losing an arm.
It starts to look like Rob's PVC like camera setup. Just things sticking out in every direction.
I'm waiting for General Grievous type to wield four of these things. I don't think it's gonna work, but dang it, I want to see it.
Cuts his own arm
off.
Well,
I'm just glad nobody lost an arm in this movie.
Yes,
that was the biggest running Star Wars. Like, I think in the prequels, in every movie, somebody loses an arm.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, no, everyone did. Hell, Darth Maul lost both his legs.
He got it the worst.
Comes back in the clone series looking like a satyr, so whatever.
But yeah, no, I mean, yeah. I was glad to move away from that. I liked seeing, because, I think maybe CGI limitations were a part of it, but I was glad that we got to see lightsaber wounds that weren't just limbs falling off. I mean, you saw, like, what, Finn got hit.
Finn got slashed up the backside. I mean, yeah. Back in the... back in the prequels and the trilogy, that just would have gone through his chest.
He'd been dead. Yeah, and then you had Kylo Ren takes the hit across the face. Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Just the scar right across the face. Like, oh, he's so evil
Kylo
now.
Kylo got tagged everywhere.
Yeah. But I mean, like, and even just setting up a sweet battle where, like, Kylo Ren looked pretty rough with the lightsaber. Like, well,
that's the thing. Like, you mentioned how he looked rough with it. Like, they didn't go over the top with choreography like they did in the third prequel.
Right.
Like, that one, I give him credit. Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen, they put in a lot of work to make that scene happen. But at the same time,
I still like Darth Maul better because Ray Park is a choreography guy. And he designed his whole fight, and I thought that was better, but that's just me.
Yep. I mean, you're right. Definitely. Actually, you're right. That is just straight up better, but they put in a lot of work for high choreography stunts. This wasn't. It just felt raw. It felt brutal.
Which reflects
movies. Go into here is, I think, because Kylo was training with Luke, and then he went dark and, you know, slaughtered some other Jedi apprentice or whatever, however they're going to explain it, and then went straight to Snoke. Snoke was like, oh, you got trained by Skywalker? Go f*** it up. When really, he just doesn't have any training, and I think that shows a lot.
Yep.
I think we're going to see something along the lines of Luke wasn't training people with lightsabers. Like, he was just teaching the Force, the idea of the Force behind it, and that he wasn't actually even doing lightsaber training. And then, I mean, like, you think about, like, Kylo Ren, like, who is he fighting with the lightsaber? No one. Like, he had no reason to really... I mean, he's, like, hitting, you know, villagers and stuff with his lightsaber. He's just striking people down. He's not really, like, fighting anybody.
Chairs and panels.
Yeah, he's beating up, expensive control panels and parts of various ships. And then, yeah, just, like, people, just striking people down. So, I mean, like, he has no reason to be good with a lightsaber, really. So, I thought that showed. And then, I mean, him getting tagged by Chewbacca and then Finn doing a little bit of work on him. I thought that was really well set up to where by the time he fights Rey, it makes sense why they seem mostly like equals, because he's been trained more, even if he hasn't been much, but then he's also hurt, so it kind of balances out.
And Rey did have some training with, like, the spear. Like, she was messing people up in the very beginning with the spear and stuff. So, and that's why she was doing more thrusting attacks with the lightsaber like a spear. So
No, they did great with that. Yeah, no, I mean, like, I just, yeah, they established, I mean, they set up everything perfectly, really, because, I mean, yeah, they said that she had some melee fighting background, so, like, okay, that makes sense. She had to survive. She's been struggling, so, okay, she's a little bit tougher than some of the other characters. I mean, they covered the whole backstory with the new stormtroopers perfectly. I mean, they just tell you a little bit about Finn and what they've been doing, and boom, there you go. You're on board.
It all clicks.
Yeah.
I like how they set up Kylo to be big and bad, but, I mean, obviously he's not. He doesn't have the training, but they set it up by showing us powers we haven't seen before, and therefore we assume they're more powerful. Like when he stops the blaster shot and when he, you know, reads people's minds, we just haven't seen that before, so we assume it to be powerful, but really he's just not that strong.
I think that was possibly like the best use of CGI I've seen in years, just the blaster hanging midair, and we got the close-up view of it. It looks so good. It just it pleased my eyes to see that.
And then when it finally just fired off at the very end of the scene, oh, that was sweet.
Like, I forgot all about it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, what?
Oh, and then it goes with his lightsaber, too. It's so, like, it's so savage and, like, not finesse at all.
Right. It's the exact opposite of 1-2-3, the Jedi Academy and all of this, and those elegant fights, and then now it's just pure raw emotion. Oh, dude, speaking of which, like, him hitting himself in the wounds during that fight was so sweet. Like,
But it shows his inexperience with the dark side too. He's just like, I just need anger and pain. Let me hit myself in this shot, and that's gonna make me stronger. You know?
Yeah. I mean, he's just a raw character. Like, and I mean, they did a great job of that. He's emotionally unstable. I mean, I think that's what made like the scene with him killing Han so great was like, Darth Vader, when someone upset him, he choked them to death. Like, done. You messed up. I kill you. We're done here. Kylo Ren, like, kind of keeps his cool around the guys, doesn't really punish people all that much, but then goes and destroys, like, console panels and stuff. Like, yeah. I mean, it's just this very unstable, like, I mean, they did a great job with that. So then you see this scene with Han, you're like, all right, so is he going to kill Han? Is he not going to? I mean, it could have gone any direction. Obviously, it felt like Han was going to die, and I'm glad that's how it played out, but, like, there was a lot of tension there just because of the fact that Kylo Ren is, I mean, he's a psychopath. Like,
yep. In every which way.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome. Like, I like that a lot.
I like how they even had explanations for things that seemed very convenient, like R2 waking up at the end and stuff like that. But that was the first time R2 saw either Rey or Luke's lightsaber, whichever one woke him up. But, like, everybody's like, oh, just R2 wakes up at the end with the other piece of the map, like they said, and brushed it off. Ha ha. It's like, no, it's because R2 saw something he needed to wake up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know some people have had a theory too that Luke sent some type of message to him to wake him up, or I mean, I'm fine with that. It's not that big of a deal. BB-8 had the other, they couldn't use his piece of the map until BB-8 was there with the other half anyway. So I mean, right. I thought it was fine. And I really think that the only reason they showed Luke at the end was just because people would be let down if Luke didn't show up at all. I mean, because I would have been fine if they didn't even show Luke.
Yeah, it would have been okay with me.
The one sad moment, though, is the fact that we're not going to see Han Solo and Luke interact on camera. Like, that was kind of a bummer.
I think that's why Luke was so sad at the end, too. He had that sad look. He knows Han's dead. Like, he can sense that.
And they made a good point that Leia still feels the Force. Like, there was a scene where she just grabbed her chest. She could, like, how Yoda did when all the little younglings were killed.
The same way she did when, what was it in the 4, 5, and 6? She has a moment like that too. Oh, she senses where Luke is when he was hurt. When they need to go
she
find
does
him,
sense Luke's location. That's right. She feels it. You know, it's just goes to show you maybe Leia will get Force powers. Maybe not. Who knows?
She's Force sensitive. Yeah, like exactly. She always has been. They just didn't touch it in the first trilogy.
Yep.
Yeah, I think they just established she's still Force sensitive like she was, and that's going to be that for her, which is cool. I mean, it would kind of be like a cheesy, like when Yoda fights in 1, 2, and 3, if Leia suddenly was like, you know, tough and badass. I kind of like that.
I wouldn't be surprised if she has mental things, and that's why she's a good general. She can inspire people and things like that.
That's a good point.
Bring battle meditation into this. Why not?
Yeah. Nice. But yeah, I mean, like, oh, dude, there's just so much good stuff, and I know I'm dying. I think, did Rob actually go see it again already?
Yeah, he's already seen it twice.
Yeah, I'm going to be seeing it again.
I will be too.
I think we're waiting for some family to come in and go with a bigger group the second time around, but man, like, that was just such a good movie. And I mean, I know a lot of people are kind of complaining about the parallels with 4, 5, and 6. I mean, obviously the very Death Star-like weapon.
I think they did that to appease to the crowd.
Exactly.
Like, it felt very intentional. All this nostalgia. Let's get into it. I don't think they're going to do that in number 8. I think they're going to peel off.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that this one, like, they gave Han tons of screen time because they're killing him off. We're moving on from Han. We're seeing what's coming next. They set up a lot of new storylines, which are awesome. And yeah, I think we're going to move away from the nostalgia. I think they packed it all into 7, so that way now they can build whatever they want
for
8 and 9.
Their story. Yeah. Hell, it wouldn't even surprise me if the next movie Leia dies and then the final movie Luke dies. You know, it just...
I don't think they'll kill them all off. I wouldn't be surprised if another one dies.
Yep.
Yeah, Luke going makes the most sense. I don't think you can kill off Leia. I mean, something about it just seems like you don't touch that. There's not much there for this story. Luke dying feeds the story pretty well.
Yeah, it feels off, but you're
right.
I'll be honest,
and like Kylo Ren killing Luke would be a cool moment, just because then that really, like, maybe at the end of the next one to really step Kylo into that, like maybe we don't see all of their training. We start the next movie. They've been training for a year. They've been training for some amount of time since there's no immediate threat.
A time skip would be nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Time skip, a little training montage. And then maybe some part towards the back of the movie, we see Kylo kill Luke, and it's like, oh my, he's so much more powerful. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, because, like, I don't want to see the next movie be a triple training montage between Kylo Ren, Rey, and, like, Finn becoming a pilot or whatever. Like, I don't need that. Like,
yeah, no, I think the time skip is definitely going to happen. I mean, they set it up pretty well. Yeah,
we all know that this is what's going to happen.
And it's settled for a while. I mean, the Starkiller base is destroyed entirely. I mean...
Another Easter egg. Starkiller base. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, what were those games called?
So, Starkiller is a reference to Force Unleashed.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Kylo Ren's mask is a very similar look to Darth Revan from Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2.
Oh, nice. I haven't played those in forever.
There's a lot of little Easter eggs here and there that they pick off. The Mandalorian flag from, once again, the KOTOR games and Boba Fett.
Yeah.
All sorts of little things. That really did, you know, appease my sense of nostalgia.
Yeah, I mean, they did a great job. I mean, even, like, the goofy scene of C-3PO showing up was awesome. Like, that was such a great time to plug them in there.
Yeah.
You have Han and Leia reuniting, and then, oh, man, there goes C-3PO right in the mix.
The old C-block-PO.
Yeah, with his red arm.
Hey, don't ever tell me the odds.
Yeah, I mean, but, like, even... Oh, man, it just totally fell out of my mind. Oh, even the fact that Han and Leia have been separated pretty much the entire time that these movies have been... without us. You know what I mean? Like, the gap that they jumped, they weren't really together for that whole gap either. So, us seeing them reunite and they're reuniting, like, it felt really cool. Like,
I feel like their relationship broke apart because Ben fell to the dark side as Kylo Ren.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, they kind of sure hinted on that.
Kind of caused it.
Yeah, they mentioned that Han went back to doing the only thing he knew, and then she said that she did too. So, yeah, I mean, they pretty much established that. So, they were together for a little while after Return of the Jedi. I mean, I guess it would have been probably at least 10 years or so. I mean,
something around that.
And then they broke up for a while and went separate ways, and we get to be there for, you know, the reuniting, which is pretty cool.
I mean, it makes it feel like they didn't even really, like, break up. Like, Han just left. He's like, I'm going to go smuggle. I'm out.
Yeah, yeah, that's a better way to put it. I mean, he just kind of disappeared for a while. I mean,
guys, they're reunited, and it feels so good.
Yay.
Want to roll today with
the turn your mic
if
off.
I could punch you through a computer screen, I would.
But yeah, no, I mean, I know there's going to be more things that pop up in my mind to talk about as soon as we turn this off. Because, I mean, the pacing felt amazing. It was like the beats kept coming. We kept moving through the story. But it felt like they jammed a lot of stuff into one film, but it never felt rushed.
Yeah, it didn't feel like number one where I was lagging, and it didn't feel like number two where they were jamming.
Yeah, I mean,
I still think my favorite scene, though, is Finn on the ground when he first has the lightsaber and Poe is in the air just blowing stuff up.
Oh, yeah. Like, I was like, that's an awesome pilot.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like, not even just the cheesiness. Like the fact they showed the X-Wing in the background messing stuff up, like, and Finn in the foreground running, like, that was very well done.
Yeah, no, all the, I mean, when they're running from the TIE fighters on Jakku and all that, all those scenes looked so good. I mean, they blended and that's something that's even funny that they messed up with 1, 2, and 3, even with all the CGI they used, is you never really had instances where you see the air battle going on and the ground game. I mean, that's a good point, because I didn't even really think about that, but there are tons of really cool shots with stuff like that going on.
Well, because the other ones, it was all space and ground. Like, they're not by each other. This one was much more, you know, bombing runs and much more...
Much more of what else Star Wars is.
Terrestrial based, I should say.
Yeah, attacking the ground with the planes, and then, yeah, the dogfights going on in the air. I mean, and then the scene with all the X-Wings coming over the water, laying low to the water, while they're coming in to save them at the, whatever the new cantina place is called. That was an awesome shot, awesome scene.
I like the TIE fighters out of the sunset, too. That was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, even the opening with the ship kind of passing over, was it a moon, I think?
Oh, the Star Destroyer? Oh, that was amazing.
Yeah,
oh,
that was really cool. Yeah, I mean, they did such a good job. And, I mean, I was glad to see there weren't the patented J.J. Abrams lens flares all over the place. He turned that down.
There was a couple. Abrams.
Yeah, it was just enough, but it wasn't, you know, it didn't pull you out of it at all.
I also loved how Rey lived in that downed AT-AT walker. Like, yes. That was pretty sweet. I'm like, they backed away from it. I'm like, huh.
I mean, nice. Scavenging the Star Destroyers and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, they did a great job of showing the state of the Empire. Like, obviously, they're still strong. They still have a big group, but it's not anything like it was.
Yeah, and, like, the fact that they're just not cleaning up anything. Like,
do we know why all those broken Empire things are on Jakku?
There was probably, most likely, a battle that happened there sometime between 6 and 7. And this is probably our Rey origin story.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm gathering off that one.
I don't think so. She was dropped there. Like,
yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's a good point. Because yeah, I think she was definitely like just left there.
That's a very strong possibility too. Lots to go which off
I,
of.
I think going into part of that, I think that's why the Falcon it was there was because Luke's like, crap, get this kid out of here. I can't train her. So Han was like, I'll do it. I'll drop her off somewhere. And he probably traded the Falcon for protection for her growing up or a family or something like that. It's kind of what I'm thinking on that one.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
It's real deep. I like
that. I hadn't even really been concerned about why the Falcon was there, but it is kind of mysterious that she was dropped there and the Falcon's there. That's a sweet point. And that's like, I mean, that's really, they did such a good job setting up the next movies where it's not, I mean, like, it's pretty obvious we're going to see some training, but I only think that's going to be in the movie. I think it's going to be implied that it already happened. And then from there, like, who knows where the plot goes?
Yeah.
Right.
It's a big question mark. And I mean, like, even with Empire and the originals, as much as I love them, like, the beats were pretty obvious. Like, I mean, they kind of just try to do the same evil thing again. And that's where I think where with 7, they start with the nostalgia of the bad guys doing the big evil base. And you know that Kylo Ren is like a Vader fanboy. So it makes sense why he would want a big Death Star-like weapon. And, you know, all of it makes sense. But now it fails again. So now new direction. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it'll be cool to see what that is.
I think it will be like, because Snoke is not a Darth or a Sith Lord or whatever, I think he's just going to have like groups of smaller, you know, Sith apprentices, for lack of a better word, though I'm sure they'll define it, that he's just going to send out to certain things to do smaller stuff.
Yeah, that would be sweet instead of just one big grand evil plan.
Right.
Yeah,
I because could be he is that. Like a hologram, so like he could be doing the same hologram business on, you know, 18 other planets, you know.
That's true. Yeah, you could be calling into all kinds of different evil guys throughout the galaxy.
You know, I was looking at the Mon Calamari in the scene from when you first see him when they're talking about the plans of the new planetary Death Star.
And, oh, it's Ackbar. It's still Ackbar.
Yeah, it is Admiral Ackbar. Okay. I couldn't tell. I was waiting for it. I was waiting for him to say it could be a trap. Come on, give me that. Give me that.
They gave you enough.
Like, they I did. I did catch it. I'm like, I was pretty sure it was, but I couldn't guarantee it.
Yeah, no, that was awesome too. I forgot all about Admiral Ackbar showing up. And then I can never remember the one guy's name, but with the crazy flat face that's part of like the Rogue Squadron team, the X-Wing fighter.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I just call him Pancake Face. Always have.
Oh, he's, for all you Star Wars geeks out there, his race is Sullustan.
Huh.
Yeah, yeah, he's Lando's buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Which, that's something they need to tie up to. Where's f***ing Lando?
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, if they never touch on where Lando, like, I would be happy with a quick sentence or a quick cameo would be fine.
I mean, clearly someone, like,
I mean, Han died. He might show up for a funeral or something.
Yeah, he might show up in his clothes in that funeral. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, he is known for taking someone's attire. Sure, yeah. Why not?
Yeah, no, I mean, so that would be interesting. That's a good point. Han's funeral is probably a good place to open up the next one and then fast forward a little bit. And, yeah, have Lando there, bring some of the other people back. That'd be pretty sweet. Because, yeah, I mean, I know obviously everyone is going on the whole Finn and Lando relationship, but there's no way.
No, there's no connection.
That'd be way too cheesy.
Finn is way more comparable to Han than, say, Lando.
Yeah.
I absolutely see that.
Yeah, no, I don't. I think Finn's just going to be a no relation, just a cool new character. And, I mean, and very well Rey may be as well.
With a very sweet backstory as far as Finn is concerned. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, the defecting stormtrooper was pretty sweet. And it did a great job of like not only being a good plot device, but also just like showing the state of the Empire or the First Order at this point.
Yeah,
you know
it's
what
not
I mean?
Like a super tight clone army anymore. It's just, yeah, they're still bred into it. You know, they take him at a young age and train him their whole lives, but they can't take away like their sentence, you know. They make their own decisions.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just like the whole thing with him taking his helmet off and them yelling at him for having his helmet off shows like they're trying so hard to force them to basically be clone 2.0, but they're still people. So I mean, that could set up some really cool scenes where like in 4, 5, 6, you never would have seen the stormtroopers turn on Vader or the Emperor, but now that's a very real possibility.
Yeah.
I think it's more likely that if there is a big battle, they'll just run.
Also very true. Yeah, when the tide turns against them, they may just bail.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's really cool, and I think they did a lot of stuff like that where they've set up these ideas that just plot lines that could go anywhere. Jerry, you got to get out of here.
Yeah,
I know you're cutting time. All right, so we'll say goodbye to Jerry. We'll sit here and chit-chat for a second more before we wrap this thing up. Adios, Jerry, man. Drive safe. Get on out of here. Have fun at Busch Gardens, man. But yeah, I mean, so yeah, Jerry's out of here now, so it's just Alex and I to finish this up here. But yeah, I mean, it just everything about the movie was great. They did enough tying back to the originals that I think everyone felt like, I mean, the fan service was great. Everybody got what they wanted from the originals, and it also just set up such a good foundation to move forward on.
Yeah, like they gave us the old characters we wanted, you know, Han, Leia, and Chewie and stuff, but they gave us new characters that I actually like and want to see more of, which I think is huge.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the weakest point of the... Not, I don't want to say it's the weakest, but that would have been, like, the linchpin of it all, is if the new characters we were leading into were bad. Like, if they just weren't interesting characters, it probably would have been a pretty big issue for the franchise. But now, like you said, I mean, BB-8, like, so reminiscent of R2-D2, plays such a very similar role, but still new and fresh at the same time. I don't know if
Well, it's funny because actually, like, in the credits and stuff, one of the consultants for BB-8 was Bill Hader.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. It was Bill Hader, and then the other guy was the guy who did John Ralphio on Parks and Recreation.
Yeah, yeah. So they brought in, like, a comedy team, essentially, to do it.
Yeah, I was reading some interviews about it, and they had run his voice through, obviously, like, tons and tons of computer programs and different devices and stuff. But I mean, yeah, they did such a good job of just him being a good comic relief. And, I mean, the comedy throughout the whole thing was awesome. Like, when they go to get the one ship, and then it gets blown up, and then they have to get the garbage instead, and it's the Millennium Falcon. Like, oh, that was so good. Like, so perfect. And then the fact that the traitor guy had the Millennium Falcon and that he owned it kind of plays into your whole idea that they had to sell it or barter it to get protection for Rey, or somehow with her being dropped off there, it was also left behind, which I like that a lot. I hope that's what they go with.
Yeah, I think it plays out nicely.
Yeah.
You know, with the stuff that they've already hinted at and things like that.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm curious to see what they do with Luke. I think that, I mean, like I said, him showing up at the very end was awesome. That planet that he is on is cool as shit. I like that a lot. But
it's kind of like the opposite of Dagobah. Like, it feels remote and isolated because it's just an island in a ocean instead of, like, you know, this one section of swamp, but it's different, but the same kind of.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's playing a very similar role, and I mean, I hope that they front end him and Rey's training so that way it doesn't play out too much like Empire with him training. But I think we're going to see like a lot of build up in the next one and then a big payoff at the end of the next one. And then, I mean, who knows what, dude? Like, that's probably that's my favorite thing, hands down, about all of this experience is just no clue where they're going next. And I mean, this was the first time I think I've ever left a movie theater where like I was ready to go back in and watch it again immediately.
Yeah, it's been a while for me as well.
Yeah, I think
you definitely wasn't the first Star Wars, like the prequels.
No, yeah, those were one and dones for sure.
Because like it was such a hard time for me because like I loved the original trilogy, and when Phantom Menace came out, I was a kid, and my parents took me to the drive-thru to see it, and I hated it so much that I didn't watch 2 and 3. I didn't watch 2 and 3 until last year.
That's too funny.
Like, I finally, like, a friend was like, dude, you have to sit down and watch them.
Just
like,
for completion's sake, coming out
eventually. Like, I was like, fine, I'll do it. And it's just like, oh, so bad.
Yeah, I mean, luckily, like, I was young enough that I enjoyed it just because it was Star Wars. I don't really remember hating 1, 2, and 3, but they weren't, like, this big part of my childhood either. So that's pretty telling. I mean, if they would have been anything like this new one, I'm sure. Like, I know I watched 4, 5, and 6 a ton as a kid. Watched 1, 2, and 3 once each. Yeah, so, I mean, and then going back and watching them as an adult, those movies are so bad. They're just horrible. I mean, Joanne hadn't seen any of them, so we watched all of them, like, 2, 3 years ago, and then we just watched them all again getting ready for this one, and, like, each time I watch 1, 2, and 3, I hate those movies more and more.
Which upsets me, because, like, the one thing I like about going back and watching was Darth Maul. He was so good.
Yeah.
Like, he was interesting. They could have done so much with him. And, like, Duel of Fates, like, John Williams crushed the score on Phantom Menace nonetheless. Because, like, Duel of Fates is one of my favorite Star Wars, you know, soundtracks of all time. And Like, oh, come on, man. Like,
I mean, I think the biggest thing they played into is you look at 7, 8, 9, you're like, okay, we can establish these villains, and who are they? The pieces are all set up to where they could be people's kids, people's relatives, and then you look at 1, 2, and 3, and you're like, all right, well, we need to set up these big bad villains, but they need to be gone by the time 4 starts. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
get the Emperor, obviously, and you need to see
but
Anakin.
But even then, they
could have
had one bad through 3 movies. Like, Darth Maul should have lived, which reminds me, have you seen on YouTube, there's a guy, Belated Media, does What If episodes 1, 2, and 3 were good. He just finally, 2 weeks ago or so, finally put out 3. There was like a gap. And what he does is he takes, you know, what, for one, he uses like half the movie and makes up some stuff. And two, it's mostly storyboard of his own. And 3, there's nothing he takes from 3.
Wow.
And like, he just redoes the Star Wars of what they should have been.
Huh.
And like, they're so good. We'll put the link up, but like, oh, they're so good.
No, that's awesome. I'll have to check that out, because I mean, they missed a huge opportunity with those. And like you said, like, Darth Maul could have been an overarching villain. They could have had him for 1, 2, and 3. They could have even gone as far as to, like, I mean, he didn't have to so obviously die. And I mean, I know in the animated series he comes back, but
right,
they killed him in that movie. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a stretch to bring him back. Like, he very,
it was unnecessary. Like, right. And like, the biggest mess up was with the first ones was there was no main character.
Yeah. The story was all over the place. Yeah. A little bit of Qui-Gon.
It was following like 5 or 6 different people, which in this one we have a little bit too. We're following Finn, Rey, Kylo, and Han for the most part. But it all works because for the most part, Finn and Rey are together and Han's with them as well.
Right. And each time they add a character, I mean, Finn's involved on Jakku, and I mean, they all tie in together brilliantly, and I mean, it gives them each enough time to breathe and be their own character, and then they come together pretty strong. And I liked how Finn and Rey, like, there was some charisma, but for the most part, they were their own characters.
Right.
It was never the team of Finn and Rey. Like, you know what I mean? They're attached just enough to be like, okay, they're going to be allies moving forward, but it's not this big camaraderie. Like, Rey was very dying to go back to Jakku, and you know, it's, he shows,
Finn was trying to get as far away as he could.
Yeah, exactly. So their goals are completely opposite. I mean, and then Han showing up, like, that worked out pretty well. I mean, just they put together everything really well. The puzzle pieces came together pretty good. And most people, when I hear people looking for plot holes and things like that, it always feels like they're kind of stretching or pointing out things that don't really matter. And that just means they did a great job. Like, that's what it comes down to.
I honestly think Finn and Rey won't even meet again until the third movie. I think the second movie, they'll be completely separate.
Yeah, and it would be fine. They set them up both strong enough that, yeah, they could each go do their own thing. Maybe come back together for the finale of the second one, or just wait for the finale of the third movie. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what it's going to be there. Like, Rey's going to be doing her training, and, like, I think she's going to do, like, super secret squirrel stuff on her own. And Finn's going to be a pilot, and he's going to be with Poe, and they're going to be doing, you know, pilot stuff, and then they'll come together like the final battle, you know?
Yeah, no, I could see that. Yeah, no, man, I'm so ready already for number 8. Like,
yeah. Ugh. Well, I want to know about Snoke too, man. Like, what's going on there?
What is he? I mean, like, so from everything I've read from the extended universe and stuff, nothing really points to him being any of the extended universe characters.
Well, the biggest one they're pointing at is Darth Plagueis.
Yes. Yeah. I have seen
They, even in the prequels, they hinted, oh, he mastered life and death, and that's how Anakin was born, was he made life, which is still stupid in my opinion. But
it is, but what are you going to do?
So it could be Darth Plagueis, and that's why he's not a Darth, is because he didn't want to enforce the rule of two when he, you know, Darth Sidious thought he killed him, and he, oh, I'm a Sith Lord now, I have an apprentice, the rule of two. He didn't want to enforce that, so he's like, I'm not a Darth, I'm just going to sit back here so I don't have to kill him. Let him do his thing while I do mine.
That's true, yeah. So that way, I mean, because the whole rule of two kind of screwed him over, so it would make sense for him to abandon it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, he looks like messed up. He looks kind of like someone who's lived too long, so I could see that angle,
like,
too.
It looks like he took a lightsaber to the head. Like,
yeah, he's always like pretty banged up. But yeah. But all right,
man. Another one is, I wouldn't be surprised is if he's not a hologram, if he's just force ghosting.
Ooh.
Like, I think that's a theory of mine that I think is could be pretty sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. I mean, they went out of their way to make it obvious it was a hologram, so that could be some sweet misdirection.
Yeah.
I liked how they made it, like, I mean, I don't know about you, but I think most people I've talked to really thought that he was that big at first.
Yeah, no, at first, yeah.
There's no reason to not. Yeah, exactly. No reason to think he was a hologram. A lot of people think he's going to be little like Yoda, and I hope not. That would be really lame.
That was what I initially thought, and then I'm like, that's too obvious.
Yeah, it's too on the nose, yeah. He's probably just a regular. Now, there's some character in the EU that people have mentioned he might be, or a race or something that's about 8 foot tall. And I was like, that might be, but I can't remember too much about that. I didn't dig into it too much.
Right.
But yeah, all right, man, we're coming up on time here. You got any last thoughts before we get out of here for the holidays?
No, man, just everybody have a happy holidays. And, you know, when are we putting this out, before or after?
This
Christmas?
Is after. This is going to be after. So I hope everyone enjoyed their holidays.
Happy New Year, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. It'll be up before New Year. Dude, everybody have a safe New Year. You know, be careful out there. Like we said, the first week in January will be the first new content. So, I mean, it's only a week away.
We'll be doing
when this
stuff on the
up.
Website, articles and probably videos and stuff in between.
Yeah, hopefully at the time of this post, there's quite a few videos up and stuff. I know Rob's been getting a good following on those, and I'm glad that people are enjoying those so much. But, I mean, like always, man, leave some feedback. Let us know what you want to hear for the New Year's. We'll definitely be doing more contests, too, like the giveaway. Hopefully, at this point, people are starting to receive those in the mail, so we're starting to see things on Facebook. It's weird recording this far out in advance, but we wanted some time off for the holidays and stuff and didn't want to have to worry about getting together to do show notes and stuff like that while we're also trying to celebrate. So we'll be taking this time off. At this point, we'll be back next week with some brand new fresh content. We'll be getting close to the Oath release, so that'll be cool. We'll also be getting close to Modern Ban List. So probably second week in January, we'll be doing some predictions for Modern Ban List, what we think, and even Legacy and Standard too, what we think is going to happen with that. I definitely want to put together some type of thing where we'd like place bets or something with what we think and
see who's
does
right,
the best.
Stuff
yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. Go on a record, write it all down and see who's the closest.
So we can verify Rob's the worst.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right. I'm still feeling pretty good about Stoneforge Mystics. That will probably be our big tiebreaker there, but we'll see. But but all right, that'll do it for us. I hope everyone had a great Christmas, has a great new year. We will talk to you next week with some fresh new content. Adios.
Oh, snap.